Shopping for engagement rings can be a really intimidating experience for couples. If you walk into a jewelry store and don't know what you want, it can be really scary to make such an expensive purchase. And although the fine jewelry industry has been around forever, the way people shop has changed drastically in the past few years. This is exactly why Olivia Landau started The Clear Cut, a concierge service and e-commerce shop for buying diamond engagement rings. Today, we're finding out how she took a customer-centric approach to making a traditionally daunting task way more accessible to the modern buyer. I'm Kara Hogan, and this is The Empowered Marketer. The Empowered Marketer is brought to you by Zayus, the CRM that helps you anticipate what your shoppers will do next. Learn how Zayus can predict your customer behavior at zayus.com. As a graduate gemologist and fourth-generation jeweler, Olivia Landau has always had a passion for diamonds and gems. They are a girl's best friend, after all. But after working in the industry, another opportunity called her name once her friends started getting engaged and asking for her advice.
I originally started The Clear Cut first as an educational blog, maybe I would say 3 or so years ago, but my professional background really deals with I'm a fourth generation jeweler, a GIA graduate gemologist, and I've been really experienced in the jewelry field mainly. So e-commerce came very like organically through my jewelry background.
Nice. Okay. That makes sense. So in other words, you're an expert in your product, not necessarily an expert in e-commerce.
And I'm like becoming, I guess, more and more of an expert in e-commerce every day. But it really evolved from like education and jewelry, and it kind of organically became a custom engagement ring business and now like a fine jewelry e-com like D2C business.
How'd you come up with the idea for the company, and why did you think it was such a unique opportunity?
So like I said, it was so organic. I grew up around jewelry my whole life. So my dad comes from a long line of diamond cutters and dealers from Antwerp, Belgium, which used to be the diamond capital of the world. And then my mom and my dad actually started their own antique jewelry business. So I grew up around it, but I personally never thought I would get into it because they always told me it was a dying business and that I should, you know, get a great corporate job. And this is just something they did because they like came to America with like no skills. So I never thought I'd get into it. But when I was graduating from NYU, I was a little bit lost and looking for like passion and something that I was interested in. So I decided to go to GIA, which is the Gemological Institute of America, to get my graduate gemologist degree. I kind of just wanted to extend schooling a little longer and try something new. And while I was there, I really fell in love with gemstones and diamonds, and it was just in my blood, and I immediately found what I was passionate about. So while I was there, I actually met my fiance and co-founder now of The Clear Cut randomly. He comes from kind of a very different background. He was there because he had founded like a fair trade diamond mine in Sierra Leone at the time and was there to learn more about diamonds. But so I after GIA, went to work at Tiffany on the engagement floor, and that's when I really fell in love with diamonds specifically and bridal jewelry, but I wanted to get my hands, you know, more on like the actual process and a little bit beyond the glass case. So I started working at a big diamond wholesale company as a head of production, making jewelry for big retail clients, and a lot of our friends were starting to get engaged, and I just started making rings for family, friends, and at that time, Kyle, my fiance, had come back from Africa. There was that terrible Ebola epidemic, which kind of threw a wrench in his projects and plans, and he had gone to Colombia for business school. And there's this crazy phenomenon that happens like in the second year of business school where like everyone gets engaged at the exact same time. So everyone would come to him because they knew he had a background in diamonds and was like, where do I get a ring? Like, what do I do? And he would refer them to me because I had access to this big wholesale inventory. So I just started, you know, educating all of his classmates and my friends, helping them pick out their diamonds and design their rings. And I quickly realized that most people didn't know the first thing about buying a diamond. I started The Clear Cut purely as like an educational blog and platform for just like my friends and my couple of clients to read about like the do's and don'ts and what they were actually looking at before coming to sit with me. And that's how it started. And then I just started posting some Instagram photos of my designs, and that's where it really started to take off. And then after a year, like all of these random people from across the country were following me, asking me if I could make their engagement rings, and it organically took off and became kind of like my side hustle. And during my lunch breaks, I was like running to like the Diamond District and like selling like tens of thousands of dollars of rings and just like sending boxes and getting in wires to people I've never met before. And it was insane. I was doing that and it was kind of unsustainable doing that and having a full-time job. And at the time, Kyle was graduating from business school and he was going to go into like a really traditional banking role that he didn't want to do. And he was like, you're kind of onto something, like maybe we should give this a try. And, you know, this is definitely a need that's out there that you're fulfilling, because otherwise these strangers wouldn't be sending you all this money and trusting you blindly with their diamonds. I'm the one that's a little bit risk adverse, actually. So I was like, okay, like, but I want a little bit of stability and maybe we should go into an accelerator. So we applied to Techstars New York, which is a tech accelerator, to see if they, you know, believed in us as well. And even though we're not a tech company, we did get in because we had so much traction, I think, and kind of a new way of thinking about luxury and fine jewelry. And that really helped us and gave me the confidence to kind of move forward. And it was kind of like a CEO boot camp, and it was amazing. So we committed full time to the Clear Cut January 2018. And then we've been growing 100% quarter over quarter ever since. And we launched our fine jewelry collection that's pretty traditional e-commerce. Everything's still made to order here in New York this January.
Wow. Yeah, that's a crazy story. I love it so much. I especially think it's interesting you started really as a blog, which is true of, I think, a few of the direct-to-consumer brands that I know of. Like, I immediately thought of, like, Glossier, for example, is, like, started as a place to help people learn and then transition to e-commerce, which is interesting.
Because I think when you like start with education and content, you really get a good understanding for what consumers are looking for and like what's missing out there. And you're like, oh, great. Like there is this void I can fill. And you kind of get that through that initial contact through the blog.
Yeah. So interesting. I totally agree with you that the process of buying diamonds is confusing and stressful because it's expensive. So anyone would get stressed out by it. So how has that process changed from even just a few years ago? And, you know, what's the effect of e-commerce on this industry?
You know, as we're growing, we're always iterating and trying to make the process more and more streamlined, especially since a lot of our clients are remote and we never actually get to meet with them. But I think how we differ from traditional e-commerce is, I mean, traditional retail, sorry, is you used to walk into a jewelry store and, you know, it's quite intimidating. And a lot of them still, you walk in and you're like, I feel uncomfortable because this is such an expensive purchase. I'm not the most knowledgeable, I don't know where to start. And you're kind of pushed a product that's like whatever is available by the salesperson who actually, from my experience in retail, they may not know that much about the product either. They're just trying to make the sale. So the difference between that and us is, and of course, it's marked up like crazy in traditional retail. So what we do is we try to get a very good understanding of what our client is looking for. So no matter where you are, who you are, what budget it is, we always start with a 10 to 20 minute phone consultation to get an understanding of like your preferences, your budget, what your goals are, timeline, everything. And we take that information and then we will curate a selection of diamonds that are completely handpicked for what the client is looking for. So we have no incentive to push any particular diamond. Our incentives are aligned with our client. We want to just make sure we get the best diamond for what their needs are. Then we narrow it down until we find the perfect one. Once we do, we'll design a custom ring for that diamond and then ship it out to them. So everything from start to finish is super personalized and customized based on their budget and what they're looking for, which is a way to make buying jewelry a little less intimidating, educating them along the way, and kind of making something really, really special, since usually an engagement ring, which is kind of what our bread and butter is more than just a piece of jewelry. There's so much more sentimental value attached to it.
So that sounds like a really high touch, intense customer experience. So how do you manage that process? How are you handling, you know, that level of service? That seems like it would be really challenging.
It is. The number one like critique that we have is that how is this possibly scalable, you know, like to have such an intense relationship with each client. But we do have a growing team and each person works on a different area. We have like gemologists curating. I may be the one, I want to talk to clients as long as I possibly can to, you know, have that connection with them. But on the back end, we have a ton of people doing different things. And the more we learn and actually the more clients we have, the better we are at curating and scaling and making the process more and more streamlined and efficient.
That makes sense. So how are you finding these customers? I mean, you said definitely a lot of them are coming to you, which is a testament to the need in the market. But as you grow, how are you reaching out and identifying the right people who would be interested in this product?
We've been really fortunate that like ever since the beginning, it's been very organic and word of mouth driven. So like I said before, originally, it was a lot of friends, family, you know, business school classmates. And then, of course, this is one of the biggest purchases of a person's life and one of the most expensive ones usually. So it does come with a referral, goes a long way. But how we've been growing organically, too, is a lot through social media and Instagram. I feel like I have a pretty strong relationship with all of our followers, too, and we kind of feel like we know each other really well. So we've been growing a lot organically through social media. Only recently in the past couple months have we started really focusing on paid marketing. So we have so much untapped that we haven't even done yet, and we're just starting to explore email marketing, which has been shown to be very effective. Also, paid marketing on Instagram, Facebook, and also Google AdWords. We're just at the tip of the iceberg because we're just starting to test it out. So far, you know, targeting people that are similar to like our existing clientele, maybe people that know people that have bought from us in the past, or different demographics. Actually, some of our strongest markets are not major cities. Of course, New York is one of our biggest markets because we're located here, but places like Dallas and Seattle and Atlanta, I feel like those play, and Denver, there's a lot of cities that don't have access like New York or, you know, LA or Chicago might have, that are really looking for something like this, but don't necessarily have the access to it.
That makes sense. So just reaching people digitally is easier. And I was reading about how this actually kind of blew my mind that you've made full transactions via DM on Instagram. So that means like somebody bought a diamond from you on Instagram. I'd love to hear about that.
So it happens like quite often where a lot of times in our stories, like we'll post, if I come across like a really amazing diamond at a great value, I'll post it with the price. And a lot of the time someone will just say like, I'll take it, like send me the wire instructions or send me the PayPal invoice. Yeah. And it's like as quick as that, which is really crazy. But there are people that are constantly searching for the right thing, and they can be searching for months or even years. And if they come across it, they're like ready to pull the trigger, I guess.
That's crazy. And yeah, you have 91,000 followers on Instagram. That's impressive too for kind of a pretty new brand. And so what's your strategy to keep growing that and reach more people?
I think what's been something that is unique to us compared to other D2C brands, which also speaks to that like really high level personal touch, is even on Instagram and social media, we are always trying to be as like authentic and raw as possible and connect with our clients and followers directly. So every Wednesday, we have a series called Wednesday Q&A, where we'll let anyone ask any questions, and I'll answer 20 to 30 questions directly, and it can be about jewelry or life or anything, and it's like very consistent. So keeping consistency, we also have our Friday clear cut classrooms, which are like deeper dives into very specific educational questions. And then also how luxury and like fine jewelry particularly has always been marketed and like still on Instagram or like other platforms is portrayed as like highly edited. A lot of times it's like a beautiful ring, but it's like floating in like a white background or like on like a very photoshopped hand that's well manicured, holding like a glass of champagne or something, which is just like not how our customers interact with the product. So I think that being so unedited and raw, and like our photos are just like on my hand, normally like taken in a windowless room, but that's just how the product will be, you know, and paired with other like little pieces of jewelry. That's just how our product is going to be consumed at the end of the day, and it makes it a little bit more relatable. So having we're really also transparent about pricing, always posting pricing on like available diamonds. Like there's nothing to be coy about. We're always talking about, you know, what's right, what's wrong with it, full transparency and education, and like presenting ourselves in like the most authentic way.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense too. If you're posting a photo that's just totally like raw and unphotoshopped, that's what the diamond really looks like. I feel like people really want to see that.
And we do a lot of like video, like to show how it interacts with light and like more like thumb stopping kind of content, even if it's not like perfect looking, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love that. So I noticed this when I went on your site. It seems as though you're kind of the face of the brand and you're making, you're in these stories, you're posting the content. Is that a big part of your strategy as well?
Yes. So there, and it's so funny, a lot of people are like, why do you still do the Instagram yourself? Isn't that a lot of work? I still answer every single DM. I am like a control freak and I do all of the social media, all of the posting, and I still talk to all of the clients because I think that is going to be really, really important. So I do like outsource and like have a great team that does a lot of things on the back end, but I think controlling the relationship with the clients and followers to be like really personal is something that I want to maintain for as long as possible.
Yeah, I agree. I find talking to customers, you just get so many good insights into what people actually want. And if you don't do it as a marketer, you're out of touch. You know, you don't know what your buyers really want. Have you had any like really interesting revelations or something that you just had no idea about from talking to a customer?
Well, the way we even decided to start our fine jewelry line, we never thought we'd get into that, is purely based on talking to our followers. So for instance, I had this ring that I made myself like years ago that I'd always post photos with our engagement rings, and people would always reach out to ask if we could replicate it for them. Is this available? And that became like our signature ring, like our Olivia ring. I was like, why can't we just have this up on the site ready to go? Like we don't have to go through this whole back and forth to make it. And that's, we kept getting requests for other pieces of jewelry. So our whole fine jewelry line is consistently growing and was built based off, solely on customer requests. Like we're never going to make something without knowing that it's going to sell, first and foremost. So when designing new pieces, we're always like asking our followers and customers, what price points are you looking in? What type of designs do you want to see from us? And we just launched these gold hoops for summer because I was wearing gold hoops and everyone's like, I need to have these on the site. Where are they? So it was like, okay, we got to get these up on the site right away. So that's kind of like how we've been growing, is just listening and talking directly with our followers.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, that you're building a product line based on what people are asking for, which is, yeah, that makes so much sense. Are you moving towards having more of these kind of like set product lines versus having more custom pieces, or are you going to continue to do both?
I think our bread and butter is always going to be the custom pieces and, you know, where we provide like the most value, but we're going to continue to grow the fine jewelry line too, because there's demand for it, and we don't want to, you know, ignore people if they're asking to buy specific pieces of jewelry that are easy for us to, you know, create and have up and continue to develop that type of, have like more of a collection, and then always do like custom for whoever wants that as well.
So we talked a little bit about that you started with content and you do these Q&A sessions online and all these different things. What kind of content are you building out on your site, and how is that helping drive demand?
Yeah, so one of our newest content pushes, I guess, is our Clear Cut Classroom. So that also came from demand from our Wednesday Q&As. So Wednesday Q&A is just like 13-second answers, like Instagram stories, pretty quick, but we kept noticing that people were asking similar questions week to week, and we wanted to make sure that we had a place where we can really like dive deep into these specific topics that people were clearly interested in. So now we do an IGTV series every Friday where we'll pick a particular topic that we've seen, you know, people asking specific questions all the time, like, I want a deeper dive, like, how do I buy a cushion cut, or like, what does it mean, what does fluorescence mean on a diamond, or like, how do I shop with a certificate? So if you're really, really nerding out on diamonds, like, the classroom is where you want to go, and if you're getting it really into the weeds, but it might be a little bit too dense for some people if they're just like kind of consuming. So there's something for everyone. Like our Instagram feed is definitely for inspiration, showing designs that we've made, promoting like the collection. And then Q&A is kind of like a quick little tidbit. And then our classrooms are really the deep dives. And we want to continue coming up with more like consistent series, but based on what the demand is as well.
This is all on Instagram, or do you put it like on YouTube? Do you put it on your site?
Okay. Our classroom is on YouTube, and actually we've compiled every single Wednesday Q&A in a searchable format on our website as well. So if you do have any questions, so everything lives on the website too in our education section. Our classrooms are on IGTV and on YouTube, and all of the Q&As are searchable on our site too. So if you have any question, I'm sure I've answered it in the past, and you can search it directly on the site. So it lives in multiple places.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, I'm sure that's great for like SEO purposes, maybe discoverability for other people looking for those answers online.
Yeah, and another great thing we do that isn't purely education-based but kind of more fun is our clear-cut couples. So a lot of our couples will, once they get engaged, will reach out and see if they're willing to share their proposal story, their love story, and details about their ring and their wedding. And it's a great place to, it's all on our site, and people love it because who doesn't love reading about, you know, a romantic proposal and like how people met and looking at people's rings. So it's a great way for new clients to kind of connect with existing clear-cut couples, and it's a great testimonial for us and also like a fun piece of content for people to read.
Of course, everyone always wants to see those because you, if you're looking for ideas or you're looking for inspiration, that's always great too.
Yeah, and a lot of our current clients look for inspiration for their proposals from our past clear-cut couples too.
So you did talk a little bit about, you know, kind of transitioning from being a gemologist, which is so cool, but then transitioning into being a CEO of your own company. What has that been like for you? What challenges have you faced in terms of kind of shifting and going into a totally new space?
Yeah, it was kind of a really difficult and like crazy transition because I was always like pretty technical in like the gemology and like just always like knew my lane, so to say. But to be a CEO or to be a founder of a company is like a totally different role to take. And it kind of took a while to feel comfortable and confident in that role. So instead of doing everything myself and really being a control freak about every little detail, like understanding like first and foremost how to hire, what skills are needed, how to manage people and like set expectations and be a good boss is like a totally different way to do it. I'm really thankful that Kyle is my co-founder, and him and I have like really different skill sets. So he's really good at the operations and managing, and also has helped me build my confidence like becoming a CEO. I remember when I first we first entered Techstars and they were like, okay, all the CEOs have to give like the elevator pitch in front of everyone. I was like, but I don't public speak. I don't talk in front of people. Like, I'm so scared. Like, can Kyle do it? And he's like, no, like, you are the CEO. You're going to have to continue to do this. So it's crazy to look back at just like a little over a year where I was like petrified to like speak in front of people, and how you become more and more comfortable in that role. And like, it's all because of like the support, I guess, you surround yourself with. And like, we've been so fortunate to have such a great team too, that's so passionate and like so helpful in like helping me figure out this role.
Yeah, everybody deals with that little bit of imposter syndrome, I think, when they first start out. And then you're like, oh no, everyone feels this way. It's okay. And so that kind of goes into my next question that I like to ask everybody on the show, which is about failure. So what was one time that you failed, and what did you learn from that experience?
I feel like there wasn't like a singular time that I failed. I feel like I fail at something every single day, and it's how you learn from it and just adjust from it and not make the same mistakes. So every time I, you know, lose a client or don't make a sale, like that's a small failure. Every time, you know, if like a package gets lost in the mail, that's a failure as well. So every day there's like something to overcome or figure out. And I feel like that's a good thing, as long as you like learn from it, you know?
Yeah, there's, I feel like everybody has a story of like, yeah, oh, we accidentally spent too much money on a Facebook ad, or we...
I've learned so much this year, especially on like, oh, I don't have to, you know, spend this much money on a photo shoot or like this much money on that. Like, and it's like, you know, these are like lessons, I guess, that are part of business. And as long as you're continuing to grow and becoming like more efficient and better every single day, then, you know, the failures and the lows feel a lot worse than the wins do sometimes. They stay with you longer than like your wins and accomplishments. But you always have to, whenever I'm feeling low, I read like an email from a client that's like, this was the best day ever. Like, you made my life. And it's like, okay, I have to remember that that's like why I'm doing this. And that is just as important, if not more important, than the small mistake that I made earlier in the day.
That's great. And what are some of the specific challenges that you're facing in terms of being direct to consumer in luxury? Because, you know, I feel like there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of high expectations from those clientele. So what are some of those challenges you're facing?
So yes, exactly. We're dealing with a very sensitive purchase. So it's one of the most expensive purchases a person's going to make in their life. And also, it's a very heavy one. It's coming with like a big commitment and like a life change. And there's also probably a lot of people with a lot of opinions involved as well. So one of the biggest challenges, and you wouldn't think, is like, everyone asks me like, who's my biggest competition? Is it like other Instagram jewelers? Is it like these big marketplaces online? But actually, I think one of our biggest competitions is like local mom and pop jewelry shops, where if you are someone, you know, that's getting engaged, your parents might be really loyal to a particular jeweler or jewelry store, and they've been buying jewelry like longer than I've been alive. So coming and meeting with me or talking to me on the phone, it takes a little bit to gain their trust. And especially as like a young woman, exerting like my expertise can sometimes be a little bit exhausting, and trying to win people over and like making them understand. I mean, young people and people buying rings like totally get it, because we grow up on the internet, we're comfortable buying things online, even like the most expensive things. Like, we might be more comfortable buying from someone like us, direct to consumer, than actually walking into a traditional retail store and feeling intimidated. But when it is such a big purchase and you have so many opinions, sometimes and people feel very loyal to, you know, their own connections, that is one of the biggest challenges we're overcoming. So it's a big industry with a lot of competition, but it's also very fragmented. So it's kind of strange they don't have one particular main competition to, you know, surpass. It's like all of these different elements, and it totally depends case by case.
Yeah, and where do you see the industry moving as you go into the future? What do you think is going to become more important as people get comfortable with this idea of maybe buying a diamond online.
Totally. It first started out with brick and mortar traditional jewelers, and then it was the online marketplaces like Blue Nile that took over. And I think now we are creating a new category, a new way of buying fine jewelry and luxury products that sit somewhere in between. If you don't want to navigate hundreds of thousands of options yourself, which is intimidating even for an expert like me to go through, and like buying just on specs, which there's so many more nuances to buying a diamond than just looking at the certificate alone, and you don't want to be overcharged and feel uncomfortable or pushed in a traditional retail space, we're something that sits in between. If you want something very personalized, a concierge style service, and also you know, a price point that is fair for something completely custom, I think that is where like we're going to grow and flourish, and more people for this particular purchase are going to want to move into this direction.
Do you know what your repeat purchase rate is? Like, obviously people are coming in and buying a custom engagement ring, but are they then coming back and buying some of like the gold hoops that you mentioned or some other products? What is the life cycle of your usual buyer?
Well, it's kind of tough to tell because we're so young, but what we are seeing is the diamond engagement ring we see kind of as like the gateway drug to all fine jewelry purchases. So once you buy that diamond engagement ring, like most people do come back for the wedding bands like 6 months to a year later. We have had some clients that have gone on to having children, and we've done their push presents, and we've seen a ton of repeats in the fine jewelry. And actually a lot of people that first started out buying smaller pieces are now coming to us for their engagement ring. They might not have been ready at the time, but now, you know, they're ready to get their engagement ring. So it kind of goes both ways, that now we're seeing even our fine jewelry line is kind of the starting point and leading to the fine jewelry line, and seeing like how our customer service was and the experiences was buying the fine jewelry. So they're comfortable with us once we get to the actual ring. But it is like a long sales cycle, especially for like more expensive pieces. So we want to ultimately be each client's like jeweler for life. So introducing the fine jewelry line in the collection is really so we can be there for all these big moments like anniversaries, birthdays, push presents, Mother's Day. So if you're comfortable with us, we become that new like mom and pop jeweler that you're super loyal to, that's always there for you for like any occasion.
To learn more about The Clear Cut and check out their collection of fine jewelry, visit theclearcut.co. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Let me know what you thought of this week's episode. Would you ever buy a diamond online? I mean, it's an interesting proposition. Let us know. Send us a tweet. Send us an email. We are at theempoweredmarketer@zayas.com and also online at GetZayas. I'll see you lovely humans again in 2 weeks.